Did you know eggs are chicken periods?
No, I did not know that. Thanks for that.
Hey, babies. Welcome to the Dr. Beauty Podcast hosted by me, Dr. Anna Guanche. I'm so excited you're here. We plan to educate, inspire, and entertain you. This podcast is not just about beauty. It's about lifestyle, inspiration, life hacks, and of course, beauty.
Where's your practice?
I'm in Upland.
Upland.
Which is where, you know, where we film too. It's near Claremont.
Okay.
Oh, Pomona. It's like near between the good LA colleges? And Palm Springs. Yes, yes. Near those good colleges, yes.
True. Are your kids college age yet?
No, they're 15 and 16. 15 and 16. Yours are.
Yeah.
And they're fancy too. You are totally in Dr. K's place. You've done all these, your kids are doing all these amazing things. You're doing these amazing things. You're living, you're like Dr. K 2.0.
I definitely 2.0. I don't have the accent.
No, you're your own person, obviously. But like, Dr. you know K what I mean? You learn important things from
people, your mentors.
So, yeah.
Did you have mentors that either in medicine or growing up that inspired
you? Sure. I mean, I don't think I have a single person. I definitely have people that you know, that I look up to greatly, that I want to emulate their style, you know, whether it be, you know, in fashion or like work, or, you know, Mohs surgery. I think that I definitely, one of my strengths may be like my bedside manner or how I interact with my patients. Mm-hmm. And I think one person that definitely left a big impact on me is my residency program director, Dr. Lucinda Bisher, who was so great with patients. You know, and I learned a lot. There's a lot of subtle things that you can do that really make patients comfortable without them even realizing you're doing them, you know, like sitting down when you're talking to them and not crossing your hand, you know, crossing your arms and just
like
subtle things.
You.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So when you sit like that and you stand and you tower over somebody, there's like a subtle cue.
Body language.
Right. And there's things that you can do that, you know, it becomes second nature that you don't even realize it. And I think I learned those
things. And I was just sitting down because I was lazy and my heels were hurting my feet. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, you and I, we kind of lean towards each other. We have like open stance, you know, open stance or open seating position. And those all things are like little things that some people don't even think about. And like, I don't really think about them now, but that's just what I do.
Just automatic.
Yeah. It's like a very automatic because you're personable, you're open and you know what I mean? And communicating. And also my dad has really taught me some really good lessons that this is an example of like things that I'll say, remember when you said that? And he's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. You know, when I'll tell him advice, he's a dermatologist.
Oh my gosh,
he's retired, but so he saw he saw patients certainly the same, and I think that was, I took over his practice really with my husband, so it was a lot of like, oh, I know your father and I love your father, so it was very me
up.
I have to try to, it was for me, it was more like a, I'm going to make you like me just as much, maybe more. You know what I mean? So I think that was part of what, like, I learned. I think some of the tips that he taught me were really good. I think things that are really important for fellow doctors, if they're watching this, is I think it's really important to, I do my best to not badmouth any other physicians. You know,
100%.
When patients come in and they say, oh, I saw so-and-so and I didn't like them. Look, I think that they messed up this or that and the other. I take the high ground. I don't give them any. I mean, I try to give them the benefit of the doubt. And I think that that's really important because, and that can be a sign sometimes to the patient that it's not maybe like the best, you know, patient-doctor relationship, maybe. But those are things that I think are really important to do to make sure you don't create enemies and that you don't, you know, you always want to give people the benefit of the doubt because you're hearing one side of the story.
Right.
Always. And, you know, little things like my dad, I remember one time, and I remember because I brought this up to him and he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I remember one time I was like driving in the car with him and it was raining. You know, it doesn't rain that often in California, Southern California, but it was raining and I was looking out the window. It was high school and I was like, oh, why is it raining today? It's just so miserable. And he just like, he kind of flipped out on me. But maybe I'm remembering that in my mind. Maybe he didn't. He doesn't remember it again. And he's like, why do you even have to say, like, we all know it's raining. Why do you need to point out that it's raining? Why don't you focus on the positive? Why do you got to bring me down to the negative level? Huh. Like, and then I think of that a lot of times with my patients, right? Like, if they come in and I try my best to not have any negative, like when you walk in and go, oh, I'm so late. And like, my arm, it's like aches and it hurts. You don't want to come in complaining. You want to be positive, because a lot of times patients look forward to, and they're like, I always love to see you because you have this really happy attitude.
Right.
And you leave with a happier feeling because it's contagious, right? I think you do the same.
100%.
And those are things that are really important to, the least thing you can do is to just spread happiness and joy and kindness.
And good energy. And,
yeah. Yeah.
It's all about, you're very into energy. It's all about energy exchange. Yeah. And I've said this before. I used to be pure science. I would with people that were talking about that stuff, I'd be like, what are you crazy people talking about? Mm. And then I realized every exam room you go into is a different energy. Ooh, it's a different feeling.
I like that. I don't really think of that way. But
it's
you do?
Like, well, do you have your favorite rooms? Do you walk out of certain exam? No, which patient's in there?
Oh, I see.
You walk out of certain exam rooms and you're invigorated. Yes. Some people come in and you're at the next level.
They suck the energy out of you sometimes.
And you're happy. Yeah. And then there's other ones that come in and you feel neutral. Like you come in, you do the exchange, you come out, and other ones you feel like a little drained.
And then those days are hard days.
Those are hard days. And those people all call each other. No, but anyway.
No, but it's not even that necessarily their fault or anything. It's like a combination of factors, but there's definitely an energy. I agree. I fully agree with that.
Interaction is an energy, right? Like exchange. I don't know.
I agree with that. And I think I try to send positive energy because it only benefits. Maybe it's also for selfish reasons. I think maybe it benefits me too.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. But it's funny because I read a book called On Doctoring years ago, and you were talking about how you sit lower than the patient. So my stool is almost always lower, my stool, and then they're sitting on the exam table and I'm looking up at them when I do the interview and I give them the mirror. Right. I don't like to stand up. Well, first of all, I'm very tall. So standing up feels awkward to me. Like they're looking up at me and just vulnerable. Mm-hmm. So there is definitely a physical body language that you're saying, I'm here to help you. I'm not here to tower over you and tell you what to do, both verbally, emotionally, and physically. Like I sit low and then I always say the good, like always say the good. Yes. Oh, I love your earrings.
Or
you look so fresh today. I love your outfit or whatever. And that's just natural for me. But also sometimes I'll just look at your outfit and think how cute it is the whole time I'm talking to you, and I'll forget to say how cute it is. I go, well, I've been meaning to tell you all day.
Oh.
Your outfit is really cute. I love it.
Yeah, that's so, really great. I think that's a very, very positive trait to have. And it's really contagious.
Cultivating like that next level. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I ask all my guests what their favorite inspirational quote is.
Well, I think I kind of said it earlier that I feel like it should be from Raquel. Take time for myself. Right? Do I take enough time for myself? No. Yes, I should. I should take more time to enjoy the simple pleasures, I suppose.
So, stop and smell the roses.
Yes.
Stop and smell the roses.
Yes.
And, you know, I actually went in my camera roll the other day because my bestie forgot that I was in this parade one time that she got me into. And she asked me if I want to be in the parade, the Christmas parade this year, Hollywood Christmas parade. I said, oh, yeah, I'll do it again. She goes, again?
Oh.
I go, what? You forgot? So I went back through my camera roll. And in 1 month of, November 2019, I had done a million things. That was back when the world was open. Mm-hmm. And I realized that to the degree that I've done so many things, gone to so many events, it's like a blur. Mm-hmm. That if I didn't have these pictures, I don't even know if I would remember.
Yeah.
Because you don't have time to like process. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this whole pandemic has been like a slowing down process. But I compel you guys to go back in your camera roll to like 2019, 2018, 2017 and see how many things in a month you did and how many parties you went to
and friends'
houses and things.
I spent more time with my friends because pandemic kind of messed that up a little bit. Yes.
I'm so sad that, and I'm looking forward. That also gives us something to look forward to.
Yes, it does.
I always say the Roaring Twenties are coming again. We're gonna have the second Roaring Twenties.
What happened in the Roaring? Tell me a little
bit.
What do you mean?
20s.
That was like when I was like really lively. Everybody was partying all the time.
Oh yeah, it's like Gatsby era, with the flapper girls and everybody.
But I didn't know that also meant that they were like, was it sort of like debauchery a little? Like they were all partying, like a little throwing, you know? Well, I think that happens.
Well, that just fits
that
me.
That happened in like the, you know. In the 70s? That was when they were all into like LSD and stuff like that.
No, that was the 70s and 60s. The 60s and 70s, yes.
So that comes
like
back.
Crazy.
Things, I bet you things might bounce the other way with the pandemic.
Not for the debauchery aspect, but for the enjoying life, partying. Like,
yes.
I think that there was
enjoying each other and being together.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I think like there was the 1918 like Spanish flu. And then like the roaring 20s was like a few years later.
That's true. So we might bounce back and go crazy a little bit. In a good way, yes.
And then we go to every single event and have fun and go wild.
That's right. You like to have parties. I know you're very, there's some people that are very into Halloween, and I know that you are very into Halloween. Did you get to do something this year? Was it
this year? I did not have my party for various reasons. And
I'm going to put you on the spot. When am I going to get the invitation to the
Halloween next year? And by the way, next year my Halloween party will be the biggest, most epic Halloween party I've ever had.
Exciting.
I've been saying that all weekend because...
Because
I've been crying and whining about not having my Halloween party.
I know.
Yeah, and we don't
have, like,
we don't do subtle
stuff.
Everybody up and goes all out.
Do you have like a competition or a contest or anything like that?
Yes, a contest, DJ, lots of food.
Yes, sounds like fun.
Noise ordinance.
I have to get a hotel,
obviously,
at the room next door.
You can stay at my house.
Yes, okay.
You can stay at my house.
We're gonna do that with the chickens.
You
just don't put
Curtis
me out with the chickens.
And Amy, bring all the people.
Yes. Yeah, that'd be fun.
It'll be wild.
Oh, they'll love it. They love costume parties too. I will need help with my, if I have planning beforehand, I will make a great costume. I just am not, you know, usually I do things last minute. So I need to make a good one, obviously, for your party.
It's always got to be pimple themed.
Well, we'll think of something. We'll think of something on the edge.
Your
whole
torso could be a pimple.
That looks like a boob if you do that.
That's true.
Yeah.
That could work,
it's on the edge, yeah. I could,
and then you go like this.
I could be boob slash pimple.
And stuff comes out.
That would be
I just love all the cupcakes people give you.
Yes, I know. Aren't they amazing?
Oh, did you hear my sound effect?
Yeah, that was like really, that's what I was going to say. This should be your ringtone.
Your ringtone. Now that I'm a born again pimple popper, I'm going to get that as my ringtone.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I want to do the Wheel of Fortune. It's not the Wheel of Fortune. It's the Wheel of Guanche. I renamed it.
Oh, I like it. You have a lot of good rename things.
I know.
You do, right? You got like a lot of like TM.
Trademark.
TM like procedures.
Yeah.
Right?
The Guanche lift.
Yes.
A filler facelift.
That's
noticed that some other dermatologists and plastic surgeons are now doing it too. They have different names for it, but it's
so
really exciting.
The original is the Guanche lift,
The original OG.
Yes.
Original Guanche.
You know, like about like the vampire lift, right? Like, for example, that guy copyrighted
it,
and you can only do it without you can't even say
you can't
that.
Name
like,
it. So watch out. Don't say that on my podcast. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm sorry, yes. I said the
but that's
Vesper
not how that's
lift.
Not how my Guanche lift is.
That.
I'm not enforcing
it's okay.
So no, I'm not.
No,
like
share
that.
And share alike. I mean, if they say Guanche, that's fantastic.
I love
right?
it if they do. Yeah, yes. I want them to. So I'm gonna have you.
Do
spin
I get
the
to
wheel?
Spin? Do I have to do something though?
And
is there
I'm
like
gonna...
a TikTok dance in here? There's not right
Maybe.
That I have to. Have...
Well, you're doing a TikTok. No
oh
matter what.
Oh my God. Okay. Oh, come on.
Okay,
wait a minute.
Free association. That's okay.
Oh,
we like free association.
Okay.
You want to do it again?
I'll
do it.
What is free association?
Okay, I say a word and you say the first thing that comes to mind.
Oh, goodness.
And
sakes.
You can't think about it really a lot. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Ready?
Okay,
squeeze.
I think so. Wait, did you say something?
Squeeze.
Pimple.
Chives.
Grits. Because I had a cyst that looks like grits and chives, and I just recently posted it. It looks like grits with chives in it.
Oh.
It was crazy looking. So sorry, that's my association.
And chives? Who puts chives on their grits?
I don't know, but it looked like grits, and then there were like pieces of something that looked like little chopped up like chives.
You know, I went to LSU and I eat grits because I love them. They're not low carb, but they're delicious.
They're good,
and now I think I'm not sure how I feel about grits at the moment now.
Well, we're not eating it at the same time. But if we did, I would tell you it looked like a cyst. So just hear that in your mind next time you eat
I'm not ordering grits when I'm with you next time. Okay, what about, let's see.
Do you remember when we were in the airport and we were in the airplane, we shared an airplane seat like right in front of each, and Danny DeVito was sitting next to us?
Yes.
didn't know who Pimple Popper was. And then he got like overwhelmed by all these dermatologists wanting to take a picture with him.
Yes.
Like, I don't know
we
who
were,
you guys are.
And we were all in the same
Chicago.
Area of the plane. And then, Nobody wanted to ask him. I'm like, you just ask him. So and then we all started asking. Once him. I asked,
she broke the seal.
I broke the seal.
The DeVito seal.
Yes. Okay, pyoderma.
Gangrenosum. Oh, see? I mean, you're giving me like medical things. Pyoderma, gangrenosum. You would say that too. What were you going to say?
That probably the
same. Exactly. Okay, what else
fine,
is there?
Fine.
Pyoderma gangrenosum is something you do not want.
Yeah,
you it is don't. Like punched out ulcers. Google it, but don't Google it.
Yeah, it's nasty. Oh, but if you're you like to watch Pimple Popper, then you know that'll be no problem for you.
This is much worse.
Not even worry about that. Okay, abscess.
I'm not worse if you have it. I'm sorry, but abscess green.
Okay. Does any of these like infected ones gross you out at all? Are you like so over it or do you gross out?
I have feelings just like everybody else, similar feelings. But I definitely have trained myself to not show that emotion and that part of that.
To not baby barf?
Yeah, yes. But and part of that is to also then when you train yourself to do that, then it's a mental thing and then you're okay with it. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I do not want my patients to feel bad about what they have, you know? So
yeah,
that's part.
Of
so you train yourself, like my girl's like, you cannot say anything. We never comment on anything. And then it makes it better too.
Yeah.
You know, but you can kind of tell that I might be talking without my nose, like breathing through my mouth. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sometimes.
You know what I mean? But otherwise,
definitely,
you
guys, some of these cysts are very, very smelly. Some are not, but
yeah,
some
you
are
never
very
know,
smelly.
Not always. Some of them are, but like, they're not that, I don't know, they're not that, I think there are, I always tell people there are worse smells, okay? Like, there are worse smells. That's pretty bad. I mean, if you get it in your hair, it ruins your day.
I remember one time, you're giving me a visual memory.
Oh, yeah.
I'm remembering the
hair
thing. I was in the VA. You guys, even when I was a resident, I loved cosmetic derm. I always had my makeup on. I always had heels on. So I would work at the VA and—
mm-hmm. That's hard work, too. You're walking around a lot. Yeah.
Well, sometimes I guess I was wearing tennis shoes if I had scrubs on. But most of the time, I like to be dressed up even back then. And I did my makeup. I was fresh one morning. I had a brand new coat. I used to tailor my coats even back then. I didn't like those big, baggy, white coats. So bottom line is I walk into the VA and you know the first few times you numb a cyst and you don't know how
if
to do the ring anesthesia correctly or whatever. Well, this thing sprayed. White goo all over my face, my hair, my brand new freshly washed hair, my white coat that was also brand new. And I was like, because it was a smelly
one. Smells.
And then I said, I have to go home and shower. Yeah. And they wouldn't let me.
Oh, no.
That's how strict they are in residency.
Well, it's like, you know, I like to compare.
And work the rest of the
day. And every time you turn your head, you smell it.
Yes.
Right?
Every time I turn.
It's like when you're at a campfire and you get the smoke in your hair. And you know how you smell it. And you're like, it's just like that. Because you turn your head and you get a whiff of it. Like the wind, you know. So that's like, and my girl, one of my girls described it very well. She said, because she used to work at Sam's Club. And she said it smells just like when somebody would send back a pallet of like expired cream of chicken soup, like
cream
of mushroom or cream of chicken, one of those. And like some of them would open or something. She said it smelled like that. So, yeah, I mean, that is like a monumental. I mean, like you're getting a little small little piece of that, like a spoonful of it. You're not like, well, I shouldn't say spoonful, but you're getting a smaller little piece of it.
I've seen bigger pieces coming out of your stuff.
But I try. That's
so
why
now,
I wear splash screen all the
so
time.
So now your practice is there's a lot of that. So there's more and more bigger ones coming from everywhere. Right. So
but most of the things don't smell like lipomas don't smell.
Oh, no, I know.
That's
true.
Don't smell. It's really.
I love doing lipomas, by the way. Anyone who has a lipoma.
Yeah.
Come see me.
Yes.
I'm obsessed.
Yeah, lipomas are good. Sometimes they give you a run for your money, but like
intramuscular, I don't like.
Oh, yeah, no. But like I figured out what, of course. I like the ones that pop out. Perfectly.
Yeah, when you make a little tiny incision and this
and
big lipoma comes
out
of this tiny little
it's
incision.
It's nice, isn't it? Satisfying.
I love it.
Yes.
Now that I love.
Okay, good.
I like pimples too, but like lipomas much more.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why.
My thing is that like epidermoid cysts, like the most common type of cysts, they tend to smell more because just imagine it's skin cells that have shed instead of like falling off your body. They're stored in this little balloon under your skin. And if you sweat a lot, you're like a sweaty person or, you know, like it mixed with that. Of course, you know, that can have like an odor.
Pungent,
that's what it smells like.
Like a pungent odor.
That's what it is. But sometimes you put and you don't smell it. You don't smell anything. And sometimes people ask me, what does that smell like? And I'm like, like, I don't think it smells like anything, but I don't smell it. I don't put my nose down smell it.
We have in dermatology automatic mouth breathing. Yes. Like, it's like there's certain things that you know. And what's interesting is I taught at UCLA for 13 years. Mm. And I know you went to UCLA, but
undergrad.
So the med school I taught like once a month, just like a that's clinical. Nice.
Yes.
And it's interesting because we know what we can touch after we've been trained, right?
Right.
So someone will have psoriasis. I'll touch psoriasis, right. I'll touch eczema. I'll touch certain things, and then but the resident sometimes
and they go reaching out for it, well, right? You
know, but then you'll recognize. So the first year derm residents don't know what they can and can't touch. Mm-hmm. So there's some things that they'll like,
do. You feel like they more shy away from?
Don't want to touch the patients. But then there's some that'll go touch something, and it'll turn out to be like secondary syphilis. I'm like, no.
I didn't see too much secondary syphilis. So, but I do remember when I was
rare, but it happened in the county.
Did no one caught anything though? Did they?
No,
for sure.
Didn't.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
No, they didn't. But it's interesting, right? Because if you don't know, you know, you can walk in and touch something because we just know what things are contagious.
And then people sometimes ask you, well, how come you can touch it with bare hands? And it's actually important to do it in some instances because it normalizes it.
Yes, for sure. I love to do that for patients that have.
Makes them feel normal, but also you watching on social media to know that it's normal. Don't treat that person differently.
Right. You should never. Right. One time I was pregnant and I had just recovered from pityriasis rosea. Uh-huh. And I had it on my forearms and the nail person.
Yes.
You know what? I wasn't pregnant. Sorry. I was recovering from pityriasis rosea.
And not pregnancy.
The person taking care of me doing my nails was pregnant. And then she saw my arms and I heard a conversation in Vietnamese and other language. And then she got up and someone switched with her.
Okay.
And I was like, that's what it feels like. I kept trying to tell her, I'm a dermatologist. Yeah. It's not contagious. You're not going to get anything. Yeah. I promise you.
Yeah.
They were like, nope, got up and left and switched. And I was like, wow, that's what it feels like if you have a skin disease.
Right.
So you feel ostracized, you know?
You know, interestingly, because PR or pityriasis rosea is a common condition, actually, that is like, we think it's caused by a virus, right? Mm-hmm, we would say, but it happens and you get this rash in your body. And it could, if you don't know what it is, you could think you're dying or something. Like, it's scary to have this rash. And actually, my husband had that. He was my boyfriend at the time when he was in residency. And I remember him saying, thank God I knew what this is, because otherwise I would think that I was dying. Because you get this rash all over your body, this, you know, red, scaly, like, bumps. And it looks horrid. It looks scary. And that's just the interesting part of it that, you know, like that kind of thing that that's like a language that we speak, you know? I'm just trying to explain it to the crowd.
Well, it is. Pityriasis rosea, you only get it once in your life. It starts in the center of your body. And for 3 or 4 months, it's spreading outward and you're getting new and new and new spots. And you're like, what the heck is this?
Yeah, you're like, what is going on? Yeah, like my girlfriend there would die. She'd be like pestering me every day. I got a new spot. Have you had that?
Yeah.
Right? Your friends that don't know, like, it's scary.
Oh, try doing Botox on your friends. Oh, my God. They call you every 20 minutes. I don't see anything yet. I don't see anything. I go, listen, you got to give it 3 to 7 days. It's only been 20 minutes since I did your Botox. Can you wait?
Right.
Don't it's call me hard. Until a week from
How
now.
How about when they don't listen to you? When they give you their ideas about what they have and they think what they have. And I'm like, okay, whatever. Okay,
I love it. I had a friend one time. She brought me her son and he had acne. And I had known him since he was a little kid and didn't have acne. And I said, it's a hormonal change. She's like, no, she has an accent. It is not the hormones. It's not the hormones. She's telling me. And I go, okay. It's because she gave me a list of reasons why it is. And I'm like, well, why are you asking me?
Yes. So why are you,
poor
exactly.
thing. You know, you can roll kids in the mud. Yeah. They can be as dirty. They can never wash their face and they won't get a single pimple. But at puberty, that's when that starts.
Yeah, it is. It is a lot of hormones. That's what has to do with.
Okay, next spin.
Okay. Oh, shoot. Now this
got to hold. Here, I'll hold it and you spin it.
Oh, what is wrong with this thing?
Because we took it apart to write that thing on it and we didn't.
No.
I can't do derm definitions with you. You already know them all.
Okay. Yeah, that's not. I thought you were going to quiz me. Like, I'll send this to CME. Do I get CME?
You should get CME for this. You guys, CME is continuing medical education.
Love it or hate it.
And we have to meet CME requirements in order to maintain our license and board certifications.
We have to explain things because we have like derm jokes or something.
We don't have to. So what I do for derm definitions is the person usually isn't a dermatologist, yes, and they have to guess what they think, like,
I like it.
Notalgia parasitica, yes, means, yes, or whatever. So that's, so it, yes, wouldn't be funny with you because you know the answer.
Yes, yes. Or else it would be really funny if I didn't know the answer and then I look like a big doofus. Like, I'm like, I don't know.
That would be really bad too. Yes, and, yes, we would call
Then we would edit that out.
Yes. And we would call the American Board of Dermatology.
Yes. And it would be like just the news, or I don't know. You'd be like, yeah, don't do that to me.
Yeah, I okay. won't throw
Let's
you
change
under
the subject.
Bus.
Yes, yes.
Well, just kidding. You guys don't know. I edited that out at first. Okay.
Love it or hate it?
Love it or hate it?
Oh, thank God I didn't do Truth or Dare. I love cats. I have cats.
I know you have cats. Huh?
But I love dogs too. You know, I grew up with dogs.
Oh, really?
I had old English sheepdogs and Aww. Bouviers. And there, so I had giant dogs. But ever since I went to the East Coast or Midwest to do residency, and I needed an animal, but I didn't want to have to go walks and easier to take care of because I traveled a little bit.
So where'd you do your residency?
I did my residency in Illinois, Springfield, Illinois, SIU.
That's so cool. You know, I did my residency at University of Minnesota, so we both did it in the Midwest.
Yeah, and I think we're really probably pretty close. I'm like 17 years out or something.
Yeah, same.
So we're about, oh, really? Like 17. I did you did a fellowship too, kind of, did you?
No.
Oh, no, you were, okay, I thought you did a fellowship. I did a fellowship in 2003 to 4.
Tell me how old you are.
I'm the number, yes, that I don't like.
Mine's coming in 19.
Oh, goodness. I know. Girl, let me just tell you, this one was the hard one for me. And I hate saying that because sometimes people are like, no, don't be like that. It's just a number.
Are we going to
Well, yeah, it is just
this?
A freaking number. It's a freaking number
it's an
I don't
ugly
like.
Number.
Yeah, because you know what I hate? Now I hear people and they're like, oh, you know, when you're old, like when you're that old. And then I'm like, why do they use that as the
like,
number? Like,
me?
I don't like that when people say that that's the
Rude.
Number that they gauge.
So I'll add that to your hate it list.
Okay, sorry. Yes. Yes.
Same. What do you think of chickens?
Oh, chickens are cute. Yeah. I would love to raise chickens, but I don't want to have to raise them.
Well,
like, I don't want to deal. I mean, like they're messy, they're dirty, they're like, but they're like so cute. And I want them to like think that I'm like their mom and like follow me everywhere. And then I want to have fresh eggs.
Yeah.
But see, you're like, it's overrated a little
okay,
bit.
Okay. Well, I have 3 chickens.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have organic eggs. And I like to say they're easy to take care of, but I really don't take care of them myself.
Somebody else
so.
Does, right?
Somebody else does. Which is so obnoxious.
But it's really, but, like, I feel like it's crazy that it's in your house because they're feathers. They're, and
they're,
doesn't it fly places?
Not
or they have some kind
house,
of negative space?
In a glass
yeah,
enclosure.
But they're in the middle of your house.
Yeah, and well, yeah.
Is there some kind of negative pressure chamber in there or something? We only live like a couple minutes away.
I know. Well, no, I live in Sherman Oaks now.
Oh, I thought you. Oh,
oh well. I live
so
in Sherman Oaks.
Okay.
I used to live in Calabasas,
oh,
but
okay.
I moved.
Okay.
So it's open to the air. It's open
okay,
to
yeah.
the roof.
So it must pull out that way or
yeah,
something.
It doesn't smell. Otherwise,
okay.
I would have gotten rid of them a long
I
time ago.
I would think that. I wouldn't
oh,
imagine
sure.
that. Like, because I feel like you open the door and the stuff must come in or something. Or does it all get sucked out?
I only open the door to get the eggs.
Okay.
Everyone else opens the door to do
You should
stuff.
Have like one of the like the little clamps or, you know, like the little... The toy things that to reach down and grab the egg. And
I
drop
do
it
want
in a box.
One of those.
Yes.
There's
yes.
some lady
the
on
human
TikTok
ones?
That does
oh my
the
God,
most
I would
funny.
Love to do that.
She harasses her chickens and moves them over with a skeleton hand.
Oh.
Because
oh.
they will peck you.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You know, chickens are not the nicest, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so you're.
They're not always
very
nice.
I feel like you love them and you hate them.
Yeah, I love okay. them and hate them. I love the
so
eggs.
So you don't necessarily recommend them. To people, because
they
work. If
they're
not
like
yourself.
A snuggly pet. Like, yeah. don't be getting it to
okay.
No, okay. but if you like fresh eggs, if you like to right. see them and they're pretty.
I mean, but how many eggs can you eat? Like, do you get
well,
tired of them
they
sometimes?
They lay about one each a day.
Yeah, it's a lot of eggs that add up.
Did you know eggs are chicken periods?
No, I did not know that. Thanks for that. I mean, but they're not. But that, like, they're. I thought they were just like poops, like
That's
kind
their
of like
ovulation.
Because there's no. But there's no fetus in there when you have the egg, right? They're just like
there's no fetus unless there's a rooster
right?
And
so they just like are like pooping these things kind of out, not
yeah.
pooping.
Oh no, it is.
It's like a
it's
period.
The same that they
it's like a menstrual
of.
Cup, but it's a menstrual egg.
It's have like a menstrual egg, yeah.
Have you ever seen those menstrual cups?
And
have you ever used one of those menstrual cups?
I have not used one.
I have never either, and I've only seen
her over it.
Yes,
one.
That does not. We're
They're
old
like,
school. We can't do that.
Menstrual
have you ever
cups
used a menstrual
are
cup?
Like these,
you know
like.
What I mean? Yes. You know what I'm talking about, right? They're just so like
no, like
but
who
like some
came
people
up
love
with this
it.
Idea.
I went to Montana once to a friend's house, and I went to go because it was like that time, and yeah. I never had seen that. And there were no, first of all, they had some like tampons, but they were not the kind that like, they were like, cause they were trying to save the planet. And like, they were only had like the part that like you use. I was like, well, how are you supposed to put this anywhere?
They don't have the thing you insert it with.
Like, what am I supposed to do this by myself?
What kind of...
Anyway, like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, it just seems
so... So then she says, I have something better for you.
And then there's a cup instead. I'm like, what is that? And then I saw this terrible video of this woman wearing white pants going to the grocery store with her mother-in-law. And she had, like, an accident in the... Anyway.
And it has to be with her mother-in-law?
Yeah. I was like, I mean, I'm sure it was a little staged. But going with white pants to a grocery store, in the grocery store bathroom with the mother-in-law, you know, all those things happen.
I don't understand, how do you empty those cups out anyway?
That's what you had to do, like, pour it in the sink. How do you do that, like, in the public bathroom?
No, thank you.
Yeah, it's not, I'm not interested.
Okay, one more question. Maybe one or two. Let's see. Do you like pumpkin-flavored coffee?
I'm okay with it.
Okay.
I don't have a love or a hate with it, because it comes up once every season. I'll do it maybe once or twice, but I'm not like obsessed with it. I don't like the new, like, I'll see pumpkin spice in everything. What did I see the other day, which was like the most random thing that I could imagine having pumpkin spice? And I was like, that cannot be good. Like, they try to, it's like when you try to put it in everything.
You're just trying to force everything to be Thanksgiving-y.
Yeah, I don't know. Fall-ish. They try to gimmicky, and it's like crazy. Yeah.
But Starbucks nails it. They're pretty good at it.
I think it's good, honest. But it is high calorie, so like, I had to try to, I'm not going to be drinking that every day.
It's a constant struggle. Okay, what about scuba diving? Do you like scuba diving?
I do scuba dive.
Yeah.
Do I love it? No, I don't love it. I did Shark Week, you know, so I was
scuba diving.
You
did Shark Week at Turks and Caicos. I think you were there the same week I was there for vacation.
You were there? Why didn't you? No, I feel like you might have been there, like, before me. Because I feel like I saw you.
Like, I was wake surfing, and did you see some of that stuff?
I think I did, but I think you were not there the same
time. Oh, it's not the same time. Oh.
I think I was there in March or April or something. I don't know if you were there at the same time. Is that? You don't know the dates either? Yes. We don't know until we go back to our camera phone.
Yeah, we have to go and scroll through our phones to find out when we did what, because we have no idea.
We have no idea. So I do scuba dive. I know how to scuba dive. I don't totally love it, but I will tell you, it's because I didn't do it enough that I... because I get seasick, like the second dive. Do you scuba dive?
Yeah.
So, you know, like when you come up and you're like, everything's like this, when you come up after the first dive and you're already like had low oxygen, I feel like, and it would make me feel really ill, and I hate feeling nauseous. And then you'd sit on the boat going, oh, I got another dive. They're going to throw me in there again. And like, I feel like I'm going to barf right now. So it's like miserable. But I had to dive 2 to sometimes 3 times in a day for 5 days in
for
a row
Shark
for
Week.
That. For that. So that like was like a, and it was, I had a mask that had a microphone in it. They gave me these stupid masks that like are not like a real one with a regulator. It was like you had a full face regulator.
Like one of those undersea explorer people?
Yeah, no, not the whole thing, but just a face mask, because it had a mic, because you were supposed to be able to talk to people at the same time. Cool. It is, but it's not a very... No, obviously, if it was really great, everybody would be using those masks instead. They didn't really know how to use it well, and I didn't really get instruction how to use it, and I'm already not like this amazing, I'm not like a dive master. So the second day, I threw up in my mask when I was 60 feet below, and I was freaking out because I didn't know how to like
purge it,
and I could see the like I was just like it was like right under my nose, like I could barely like, and it was 60 feet like down, like I would have to stop and you know like all this kind of stuff. So that day I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. Why the hell did I do this?
What did
like,
I sign did up I, for?
You know, but the thing is that now also, I had like all these people around me. I had like shark wranglers and then like expert divers and then expert camera operators that were divers too, that I had like 6 people around me at all times. And I felt very safe after that, because then they realized, okay, she doesn't know what the heck she's doing. We do have to watch her so she doesn't die, because it would be very bad if she died.
That would be bad.
Doing this. So that like so that was like they took care of me, you know, and actually, what was funny is I did do wakeboarding after this. I did the electric wakeboard or the electric surfboard. And I freaked out after this, because I didn't have all those people around me. And I was in the shallow water. And I just remember them all the time saying, like, yeah, you just don't want to look like a seal under there, you know. But I should show you pictures. Like, we have pictures of tiger sharks, like, that came up real close to us. And I got to do some amazing things. We caught sharks, and I got to insert the tracking devices and sew them up and take muscle samples and all these, like, amazing, clip their, you know, their fin and tag them. Mm-hmm. So it was it was a super cool experience. So I loved it in the end, and I was like a little bit sad that it was over. And then I got freaked out when doing stuff on my own, you know, like just stupid, like being in shallow water and on an electric surfboard. And I would do it again, but I would love to go and do like with great whites, you know, like something amazing. But again, I'd have to have all those people around me.
Yeah. I mean, you never want to look like a seal. We went to Australia. Where's that Shark Alley? It's called or something, and you go diving.
Did you do that?
And it's so cold. The water. You have to wear like an 8 wetsuit. Right. So thick.
So you love to scuba dive though too.
Oh, I love to scuba dive. Yeah, that's awesome. And then you go cage diving. It is a different diving, world, right? And then they try to trick the sharks into coming up right to the cage and biting while you're in it. It's really cool.
How do they trick them?
They put things that look like seals in here. They throw the chum, of course.
Right.
So they attract the sharks, so they'll come over there and just, you know, do like a little attack.
Right.
And then you can see their teeth right in your face, but you're in the cage, so they can't get you. It's pretty crazy.
But sometimes you've seen some of the videos where they get in the cage. So those are
not real. I don't know. Are they real?
I've seen it. I'll send them one to you.
Is it real?
I think that it was real. It looked real to me. They were trying to escape, but
I
it was accidental.
Okay, I won't go again. I went
happened
once.
To go in one in position that got him into the cage. So.
I won't go again. I don't get vestibular problems. I don't get nausea or anything.
Okay. That's but lucky like for you.
You know, if you're stimulating me, if I've got a lot of fish around to see, I don't even think about how deep I am. But if one time the guy had us all the way on the sea floor because sitting there waiting for these little eel to come up. And I started like thinking how many feet of water are above me. And
In your mind?
And it's all in my head. Right. So then I start floating up and my daughter is like, calm down. My little kid is telling me, chill out.
Yes, that's cute to say, cute to hear that. Because it is like scuba diving is like a very humbling experience to me, because you are somewhere where you don't really feel like you belong at all. Mm-hmm. You like feel privileged to be in that environment, and then you can't talk and the sounds are different. You know, you can't communicate, like use your senses like you usually do. And I feel like too, it's you know what I hate? I'm also very scared of things. I can't watch scary movies and things like that. So I have been diving before where you go this beautiful cliff and one side is so beautiful and amazing with the coral reef, and then you look the other way and it's just like darkness.
Yes.
Like dust particles that fly off, and that freaks me out. Like in my mind, I'm like, just look this way. Don't look that way, because I will freak out, because I just imagine this thing with like a lantern over its head and the teeth like just come flying.
Those things. What are those things called? Those fish?
I don't know. They're like in the deep.
I know what
obviously,
you're talking
I just like
about.
A giant
those
one.
Fish.
Yeah, like in your mind, it just goes, like wants to kill me. Like I cannot look that way because I'll freak out.
Like, I just feel like, I just assume I'm not very tasty to anyone underwater.
Have you been to that pig island?
I don't think they want to eat people. But
You know, I don't think that I don't think they do either. Like
they're probably like, what the?
Well,
what?
There's a pig island that they're doing the next Shark Week on, but like, I think.
Ooh,
I shouldn't say
come.
That because I think they're pitching it. But there's an island where there's pigs, like wild, they're real, the pink pigs, not like boars, but pigs.
Like little pigs.
Like, no, well, they get big, you know, all those pigs, right? They say there's not really a miniature one, that they all get big if you feed them.
Oh, really?
But they're kind of mean because they nip at you a little bit because they're ballsy there because they just come in. They know that people come in and give them food.
Yeah.
But sharks don't eat them. Like, why don't they eat them? They don't like chicken. They don't like things that taste like chicken. Yeah, they don't like pork. So I don't think I do think that they eat us, obviously, somewhat by accident. They don't crave us. They haven't learned to crave us. Yeah, they're not into us. So that's a good thing to know.
I'm a little offended by the sharks not being into us, but I mean, I'm also glad.
They would probably be into you, but there's only one you. So, you know.
It's like a mixed, you know, mixed emotion here, you know. Well, I want to ask you a couple things.
Okay.
Because I know you're busy. I'm busy and you're doing a million things. And I know that you're doing a million more things. So I'm wondering, what are your life hacks? Do you have life hacks? Like, how do you do all the things you do in a day?
I don't really have life hacks. I feel like, I mean, I guess I have life hacks. I mean, it's more that I land.
Is your life hack?
I land by, like, I just go day by day. I don't know if that's the way. I cannot look that far ahead.
Yeah.
I can look a week and get a general idea, but I literally have to know the day before what I'm doing the next day.
Yep.
Because otherwise it would be too much. So you know what I mean? Like,
yep.
It's too overwhelming to do that. So literally I get my mind around things.
I'm just looking at my team because sometimes they'll try to talk to me about something 2 weeks from now and I glaze over.
Yeah.
And they're like, and we're going to do this and this. I'm like, okay, can I just get the printout tomorrow?
Tomorrow I'm doing
a podcast. What am I doing?
Yes.
Like, tell me right now.
Right. And but I tell them too all the time. I'm like, make sure though, if there's something that I need to prep beforehand, that you tell me that beforehand. I definitely don't want to get that last minute, like the day before.
You
and
need
then
a
you're
dress
like,
for
oh,
this.
I needed to get, yeah.
Yeah.
I needed this or that. That's what I don't want. So I do like a lot of other like silly things. I don't know if you like to do like
hobbies.
Other. I have a lot of craft. I'm very like a work with my hands craft thing. But that's really how I think why this was successful is because I'm like very hand. I like to do
manual
things.
Dexterity.
Like busy.
Yeah.
I like to be busy. And I'm also like, I don't just watch TV. I have to watch TV and do all like a lot of things at the same time.
Same.
So I'm like, so that's why I think. You know, maybe that's part of what was a success because I like to focus on different things and I feel like that's
time.
And I know people say that you can't do things well and they've even done studies to show, but I disagree with that. And I also, it's funny because I play games on my phone that are very oriented around multitask things. Like they're all challenges and like Sally Spa and stuff like that, where you have someone coming, you have like all these people that come in, you have to make sure that they're all happy. And then this one wants a massage and this one wants a pedicure. And then this one's getting angry. This one wants a snack. And like, you got to like move around and get them all like your patients.
Oh
like
my
patients,
God, that's just like clinic.
That's what
Why
I do
would you
work?
Play a game
I don't know.
Like that voluntarily?
I like, it's so weird because I do that at work and then I do that like to relax.
Oh my
so
gosh.
Maybe, I don't know why that
it's
happens.
Your, it's, that's your
that's
makeup.
Just,
and I know it's so, my people that want to go into medicine, like if they're in undergrad, I'm like, wait tables. You should wait tables.
Yeah,
at least
that's a good
once
multitasking
in your life,
thing.
You learn how to talk
so
to
much.
People,
right.
How to remember 10 things for 10 different tables. You learn how to time management and you learn how to get your yelled at.
Yeah.
People yell at you and you just, oh God, figure out how to cope with it and how to handle it and how to talk back, you know, speak to them. And
That's good. That is really a really good thing, a tip to have. That's a good life hack.
Yeah, and then I think a lot of doctors have ADD.
I think
we have a different kind of mind that's like processing multiple things on multiple levels, you know, at the same time.
Well, I think you and I do.
Or at least we do.
I don't know. I don't know if everybody does, but like I think that – have you ever done personality tests yourself?
I did that four thing, like emotional, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
something
like, yeah, that one, that most common. Yeah, like it's just really interesting to learn about yourself.
Yeah, I'm only in the 2% group or something.
That's good, though. That's okay.
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know which group that is.
There
could be a good 2% group and a bad 2% group.
Is it 2%?
So.
I don't know
how you even
it's
gauge
emotional,
if something's good or bad.
Something's, it's like a combination of totally different things. Yeah.
I actually think that it's very telling and teaches you about yourself, too. And you can learn, you know, to become a, you know, hopefully
you guys,
a better
that
person.
Personality test is something with an MMP.
Myers-Briggs
personality
16
test.
Personalities or whatever it's
called.
There's 16 different
personalities.
Ones.
Mm. Yeah, so it helps you also kind of direct you which field you'd maybe want to go into.
And I think it can change too, like as you get, you know. I feel like mine changed a little bit too. Or sometimes maybe you also, as doctors, you feel like you can, you know, beat a test and like you think you want to be a certain cat of personality. So you make yourself be that way.
Like, let me sound really empathetic.
Yes. Yes.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. And then do you have a beauty tip?
I smile. I love it when people smile because that gets rid of your jowls. That gets, you know, that your cheeks come up, you know, and it's contagious. So I always tell people that, like, you know, that's like the biggest weapon that you have.
It's true. So let me ask you what I ask all my guests.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
What is your definition of beauty?
My definition of beauty, just happiness, kindness, just spreading good karma and good cheer to one, to those far and near.
Good karma and cheer to those far and near. Yes. I love it. Thank you so much for joining me, Dr. Sandra Lee Pimple Popper. Tell us where we can find you.
At Dr. Pimple Popper, at Dr. Sandra Lee, and I've got my skincare line in Target stores and online, SLMD Skincare, and my television show, Dr. Pimple Popper, is going to be a new season in the new year.
Love it. I'm so excited. Thank you for joining us.
Of course.
Bye, babies.